So Jessica, thank you for being with us, and we're looking forward to what you have to share with us today.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you so much, Honor. And when she says she's supporting me, she is literally doing that. We were just laughing right before we got on that, with our circumstances here nationally, not only am I practicing Zoom today, but I'm going to be doing my first Zoom staff meeting tomorrow with our staff. And so it leads into our first poll question, Honor. And so I'm going to turn the slide next. Let's see here. Question, and she's going to throw this up. Are you currently working with students in person or in a distance or digital format? We're all navigating self-care in uncertain times right now. I know here in Minnesota, our schools are planning for some possible distance digital learning after March 27th. And I know a lot of you are in other states that might be also trying to navigate some of this. So I was just curious to see how you're working with students. All right.
Looks like 92% said they are in distant digital format and only 8% are in person.
Okay. So, Honor, I think we can bless all these people. Now, you are digital leaders, like legit. We're all moving into a really new realm of leading schools remotely from our home residence, from offices that are empty of halls of students. So I think this is such a timely topic and honored to be here today. And when Honor and I and NASP set this up in March or September, I had no idea what March would look like. So we've tried to change a little bit of this format. Honor's going to be following the chat, and we'll make sure we have question time at the end as well. But I want to just start with a quote that I think is super powerful, not only for us as school leaders, but for our educators right now. For us here in Austin, Minnesota, we said goodbye to students yesterday. It was very hard. And I look at the teachers, not only in the middle school, but the kindergarten center, the elementary schools, the high school, they kept it together for the kids in uncertain times. But now we're going to be moving forward. And not only do we have to care for our kids at school, a lot of us are going to have to care for our kids at home. We're going to have to care for loved ones, but ultimately it's going to be so important that you care for yourself first. This is going to be some uncharted territory. We're going to be learning together as we go, but I really want to prioritize our own well-being, because if we can't take care of ourselves, we're not going to be able to take care of those that we serve. So, and I have these resources, and later I'll show you a link where you can get these as well, but when you're going through a difficult season, these are just a few things that I've utilized on a regular basis when I'm struggling through a personal or professional crisis. First off, give yourself grace. None of us have lived through a pandemic before, but we're going to learn something from this. And so make sure that you're giving yourself permission to make mistakes and not fault yourself for being not perfect right now. Sleep, exercise, eat, and repeat. I'm saying this where I know a lot of school leaders are not getting full sleep and we're waking up with uncertainty, but please try to continue to exercise, get fresh air, take care of yourself, drink water, and try to get some rest. It's going to be a long, long journey ahead here for us. Continue to phone a friend or a therapist if you use one and access it during this time. Lean into what you do well. If cleaning the bathroom is something you excel at, clean away right now. Get some do-done projects in your life so you can finish a day feeling successful. Don't expect to be 100% in this work, and please make sure you give your staff explicit permission to not be perfect either, because we're navigating new waters for us. And then find a mantra or a musical playlist, something that's keeping you going through your day-to-day. I also have this. This is just a checklist I put together this week, just making sure that you take care of yourself. Set office hours. For some of us, being very cautious, you're not tethered to your computer. I know our leadership team at Ellis is working on a sample teacher schedule every day. So we make sure that our staff, as we move to this more remote learning, that they're taking 10-minute breaks off the computer every hour. An hour a day, they're walking away and eating lunch, going for a walk, doing something outside of technology, and trying to shut off and create office hours so they're not on it 24/7. Making sure you're checking in with your staff too. One thing that we found valuable is we created a spreadsheet, and we made sure every staff member, we all are responsible to report to about 10 staff members just to check in every week. How are you doing? Do you need anything? How can I support you? Just a smiling face. But use this time. time, this is actually also an opportunity for us to maybe try some things we haven't done in a long time. For me, I'm going to learn how to cook. I think my boys are going to appreciate that I can't microwave everything for the next couple weeks, so I'm going to need to be able to put my phone down and spend some time with my family cooking and maybe playing some games. And then obviously, please connect with your fellow principals. We're leading, and I don't want us to lead in isolation, so please make sure you're reaching out. And I had shared this too, taking time for gratitude. Research fully supports that when we lead with positivity and lead with grace and gratitude, our own mental health and physical well-being improves. And so this is a checklist for you to continue to think about, am I making contact, sending notes, sending texts, Zooming in, FaceTiming with family members, professional networks, students, and colleagues during this? And here we go. So if you want to take the picture of this link, that's where if you sign up, you'll get all my handouts, but Honor will have that as well. Here's the materials you need today. Piece of paper, pen, and a post-it note. If you need to take a moment to do that right now. Since our poll also said, well, hey, Cass Nelson, I gotta start paying attention to this. Our poll noted that most of us are working remotely. One of the things I was gonna say is put a sign on your office door saying, I need this hour for myself. But we might not need that. You might not, unfortunately, have kids in your hall right now, but that means you actually have the next hour to be present, to be taking care of yourself, and to be focused on well-being. So one of the things too, and Cass is going to say Boxer too. Okay, perfect. And that's something we can talk about too, is collaborating with our, taking care of our teachers as well. One thing I thought before we get fully started, as we're starting to move into this technology, is taking 3 deep breaths. And it sounds simple and trivial, but it's really important right now. So we're going to take 3 deep breaths. You're going to relax your shoulders. If you've been on your computer planning things for a while, you may need to stand up and stretch. But we're going to get through this. I hope you enjoy the next hour with me. I hope you take time to take deep breaths and just be grateful for these blessings that we're experiencing and these opportunities to creatively connect with our staff and students. And ultimately just taking time right now to really find some things for yourself to maintain through these uncertain times. So Anna kind of gave a little bit of information about who I am, and I'll just share a couple pictures of that as well. I am an author. I am a marathoner. You're not going to ask me how long it took me to get through that. I am a mother of 2. I was the principal of the happiest place in southeastern Minnesota, and now I am the principal of the middle school here in Austin, Minnesota, and I am a huge fan of Spam. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Austin, Minnesota is the home of Hormel. We have a fantastic Spam museum. When it reopens, I would welcome any of you here, and I would give you a lovely tour. One of the things that I always talk about, though, too, is as educators and school leaders, we think about, thank you for loving Spam, we think about the roles in which we have. And so, for example, I'm a principal, a wife, a runner, a drummer, all the different things that we are. And so take a moment to think about who are you? If you want to write some of those things down, if you want to put some of those in the comments, what are some of the roles that you have in your life? Oh, daughter, dog mom, good. Girlfriend, love it. Thanks, Erin. Oh my gosh, mother, daughter, wife, leader, runner, daughter, sister, friend, husband, father, principal. These are great attributes. These are great things that we are in our roles. A grandmother, Christian. Brandy says Christian. Jennifer says grandmother. Mark, husband, father, principal. Oh my gosh, here we go. Keyshawn Smith, Christian woman, wife, mother, daughter, sister, friend, and educator. Charles, thank you for adding in. Farnza, thank you. Oh my gosh. Chaos coordinator, Jennifer Morales for the win there. That was awesome. As we keep writing these in, which is fantastic, I please hope you're watching the comments as we go through, and we'll try to keep up with this. One of the other things that when I was able to work on a book called Lead with Grace is so often we try to fill the roles that we think other people want us to be. And when we don't do that authentically, it makes it difficult for us, and it also makes it hard for others. When we lead well, we lead as our authentic self with vulnerability, empathy, and integrity. And those are seen through how we lead as a person, in our social posts and interactions, in our relationships, and how we communicate with others. And so one of the things that I think it's really important to consider is who you are doesn't always equate to what you do. And so yes, while we have these important roles in our life, we also have attributes that make our roles even better. And so a few of the terms that if I asked my dearest friends and family, I'm very authentic, ambitious, persistent, caring, dedicated, and disciplined, and empathetic. And so continuing to think about not just who you are and what you do, but who you are as a person and as a human and how those attributes continue to help you be successful in your work at home and life is the foundation for moving forward and leading with balance. So when we talk about the quadrants in life, I had the absolute pleasure of writing a book with Jessica Johnson, a principal in Wisconsin, and Sarah Johnson, a former principal and just a force in women in leadership today. We wrote a book called Balance Like a Pirate, and we always really look at the different quadrants in life. We know balance isn't 50-50, and right now in today's education, right now it's not even probably 90-10. But we look at balance in different quadrants. So in your personal quadrant, how are you taking care of yourself and your family, finding your own hobbies and things to do? In positional, how are you maintaining boundaries in work and learning how to work smarter, not harder? Professional is ongoing professional development that's helping you learn and grow, such as webinars like this, podcasts, blogs. How are you continuing to learn and grow outside of your daily role? And then passions is the thing that most leaders struggle with the most is really, what are those things that you want to do but just never have the time to get it done? And so we'll walk through some of these activities as we go through the lesson or the learning today. So making time for what matters, that is just incredibly important as we look at things. And one of the pieces I get hung up on, and I just will be vulnerable because maybe some of you are too, is if we can't do it perfectly or do it well, we don't do it. And if we were in a time right now to risk, take vulnerability and innovate, it's today, tomorrow. As I said at the beginning, I have to lead a Zoom meeting tomorrow for 50 staff, and this is my first go around with it. I am totally going to make a mistake. I'm totally going to forget to screen share. My polls won't come out right. But I'm going to do it because I know that research supports with distance or digital learning, our students need to see our face, hear our voice, and have them call by name. And so if I can't model that with vulnerability, how can I expect the teachers in my building to do that as well? Figuring out how to be present with our children and our families at home just sometimes means we have to shut everything else off, working through that. Finding creative ways to make connections with your own children and family is really important. If you know anything about me, or if you follow me on Instagram, I have a son who likes social media, but yet refuses to acknowledge me as his parent. And so I've created a little game called Stealthy. And so you'll see pictures here on the screen of when I can catch my kid in a post and then see how long it takes them to figure out I did it on Instagram. Another thing I love to do is spending time with my spouse, just playing and having a great time with the kids. And as you can tell in our family picture, we're super unconventional, but we have fun doing it. And so making sure that you have authentic time with your family is super important. One other way that I like to share some information of staying connected with our family is journal to your children. It's a super easy thing to do, but you just need to make dedicated time to do it. So once a month, I have two journal books I started for my boys about 5 years ago. And so I just date it, and I just write in the last month, here's some things that I'm really proud of. And here are some things that I'm looking forward to seeing you grow and develop into. And I'll be able to give these journals to my boys when they either graduate from high school or college or get married. But it's a way for me to be intentional about the today and then also just to be grateful for the time that I have with them. My love language with my husband is finding really crazy cards to send to him. I have a drawer full of cards in my office, and during really stressful times in the year, such as conferences or where I'm spending more time at work and less time at home, I make intentional time to send him a positive love note home just to say I really appreciate and acknowledge that you're picking up a lot for me when I'm not there. Spending time with my son's sporting events, I had the privilege of being the assistant to the assistant U-12 soccer coach a couple years ago. I know nothing about soccer, but I certainly can corral 13 boys to stay in a line, to focus on drills and to provide snacks. And so finding ways to intentionally commit to being with my family and stepping out of my principal role and moving into the parent role has been just a huge blessing to me. And one other thing I wanted to share too, the Search Institute is an amazing asset to working with teens and young adults and kids, and they have this great little pamphlet called 150 Ways to Show Kids You Care, and they're just really super little things that you can do to continue to forge a relationship with loved ones in your life, especially the little ones, thanking them, meeting their friends, telling them you're excited to see them, being praising more, criticizing less. And so it's just a neat handout that I continue to kind of flow through to find questions to build those relationships with those that I care about. And again, here's another important quote that I think it's important to consider, that we all became educators because we wanted to help others, but not at the expense of harming ourselves. Some of us are really putting in some crazy hours right now. And I know that because I see you on social media and I see what time you're posting or when you're emailing or tweeting. We're not sleeping well right now because we're embarking on a new endeavor that we haven't done before. But with that, it's also important to make sure that you're setting some boundaries and establishing some routines and habits that will help you through these difficult times. One of the habits that I started about 3 years ago that I do every single morning is called the Miracle Morning. And I'm not sure if any of the other participants in this webinar have used this before, but one thing with Cal's work that I do is a Miracle Morning, and it's the Savers. And so I wasn't a morning person before. I went and saw Daniel Pink at NAESP a few years ago between the lark and the owl. But I've navigated because in the morning, I know I can get it done. I'm not as much of a night person anymore because by the end of the day, pretty beat. And I just want to spend time with the family. But I get up at about 4:45 every morning. I sit in silence and have a coffee. I journal. I read a devotional. I do a chapter of a book that I'm interested in reading. And then I go for exercise, walk, bike, something. But it's been such a great routine for me to just dedicate the first half hour, 45 minutes of the day for myself and my own self-care. And I've noticed it's really helped reframe my whole day and the perspective of what I have coming forward. Another thing, when I journal, and I put the T-chart here for you to look at the bottom of every one of my daily journals. Let's see what Frank's saying to everybody. Oh, can you see my screen? Sorry. Thank you for sharing that. So one of the things that I think it's important is grateful for and looking forward to. So every morning I think of three things the day before that I'm grateful for. So looking at, like for example, yesterday, grateful for getting a chance to say goodbye to my students, for working with staff who are super dedicated and supportive in caring for kids, and spending an hour with my boys last night playing a game. Today I was looking forward to this. This was a big bucket list to be able to be with all of you today, to getting a run in and to planning for a staff meeting tomorrow. So reframing maybe even difficult things that are going to be happening in your life is really helpful to put that in a positive shift. Oh, thank you, Frank. Okay, perfect. There we go. Please read the comment from Frank. Otherwise it won't get in the recording and listeners will miss out later. This is vulnerability. Honor's helping me. Frank wants you guys to know. Just a tip for Zoom sessions with staff. This is important. This is really important because I'm going to need to remember this too later. When you share your screen with faculty, if you're showing a video or anything else, including sound, there's a checkbox you will see when you go to share your screen. If it's not checked, you'll hear the audio just fine, but the participants won't. Oh, so it's like, can you hear me now? Kind of thing. Very confusing when you first run into it. Frank, I thank you for that because I was going to share a video tomorrow, so I'm glad that you're able to give us that insight, so thank you. All right, so now we're going to move into positional. Work less, prioritize more. And we have our next poll, Anna. Are you ready for this? Here we go. How many hours in a week do you work? Let's be honest. Anna's going to put the poll up. Ooh, here we go. All right, so in the poll, 30 to 50 hours, 25% of you reported, 50 to 65 hours, the bulk, half, 56%, 65 or more hours, 19% of you voted for that. So yep, we got a match here. So what I want to share with you is in Morton Hansen's book, The optimal amount of time for working is that 50 to 65 hours. That's the time where you're going to be engaged, hard at work, getting productive and getting things done. When you hit that 65 or more, it's like trying to squeeze juice out of a lemon that's already been squeezed. You're exhausted, you're drained, and sometimes we're going to start pushing through things and making it harder. I will be completely vulnerable with all of you here today that 65 or more was how I started leading, and I did not lead well. And I'm going to share a visual with you on that. That is my son Kenny going into first grade. That is one of the very few pictures I took of Kenny when I first became an assistant principal at the secondary level. My first 3 to 5 years of being a leader, I took that role of assistant principal and put more weight on that than being a parent. I'm not proud of it, but I share this because I think others of us struggle. I would 3 days a week would probably spend more time at work than I did at home, and I didn't get to see him awake. So that meant I went to work at 7 a.m. before he got up, and I didn't get home till 8 p.m. and he was fast asleep. I thought I was doing what I needed to do for my job, but I realized what I was doing is taking time away from my most important job, which was being a parent, and a spouse and a friend. And so I've learned some tricks along the way that I'm going to share with you, and that hopefully help you too if you're in that boat. But just know at the end of your days, that email could wait. I wish I would have known that about a decade ago. But one way for poor Kenny here to build that relationship back was last year I became his middle school principal. I mean, how fantastic is that? How many 13-year-olds do you know want to spend every day with their mom? Like walk in the halls, eating lunch with them, sitting in algebra class. I mean, fantastic, right? Probably not. Few smiles like that, but it really did help me to learn not only how to lead well at school, but at home, because I was learning Snapchat with my son so I could use it in the middle school. I think it's just been a great blessing for me to be able to have that opportunity, but I also know that there's not all of us can be the principal of our child, but we can find ways to put boundaries within our workday so we can go home and do what we need to do. So when we talk about setting boundaries, finding white space, using technology the right way, and just reframing our day, this is such a powerful quote for me and something that I use as a mantra. This is not real blonde hair. I went to high school and learned how to type on a legit typewriter. I don't know. If you've never seen one of those, Google it. It's a thing. And I didn't have email in college. And so having all these devices and things available to us is a struggle for me because I've had to learn how to self-regulate. Probably it's a harder learning curve than some of our teens today. One of the pieces that I really like to talk about when we talk about self-regulation is finding time, white space, and unplugging from devices. In Michelle Borba's book on selfie, 62% of elementary age kids said parents are too distracted at the dining room table because we're doing this and not this. In Bored and Brilliant, we learned that even tech industry leaders, they take breaks from their technology. Michael Hyatt takes a whole month off and just recalibrates and learns from that. Cal Newport, who I have an edu crush on because I devour anything he writes, has said there's a 90-minute sweet spot in which if you can turn all your notifications off, you can get some good quality work done. And I think sometimes you're probably thinking, okay, I'm a principal of an elementary building. When do I ever have 90 minutes to get anything done? Prioritizing that during the day requires you to put some boundaries on having those open office hours. I usually put a sign up or I go into a classroom and I just sit in the back and work if I need to get a project done. Because I also know optimally I do my best work during the day and at night I need to do my best work at home being a parent and a spouse. Here it is. This is my phone. One of the things I've also done is kind of detoxed my own telephone or cell phone, just to kind of help me loosen the distractions of everything going on. So I'll just show you right now, actually, full disclosure. Usually somebody texts me at this time, so then it pops up with something. But here is my home screen right now. So that's exactly what it looks like. I think I missed a call. Hopefully it wasn't from anybody in the webinar. And I have some notes here, but otherwise I don't have any notifications on my home screen. The most important thing in my life is my family. This picture of my husband is like 3 years old, and it's the second and last time he'll ever wear a tuxedo, so I'm always going to keep that on. The other picture I have on my home screen is just my boys. And so if I'm out and about or at a sporting event supporting my kids and I think I need to check something, I have to look at my phone and say, is it really worth it? Or is right now my focus and priority who's on the screen? The other piece that I obviously would encourage you to talk to your supervisors is taking email off your phone. I said that. I'll say it again just in case. I took email off my phone. I took my work email off my phone, and I set some boundaries around when I answer and send emails. I do that for my own self-care, but I also do that for the self-care of educators. If you're sending emails at 5, 6, 7, 8 at night to your staff, you're unintentionally asking them to check and respond to emails at 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 at night. And so letting people know how to get a hold of you is really critical, because then they know, okay, if I need to get a hold of Jess, I can text her, I can call her if it's an urgent. If it's I just need to let her know something, I can email and she'll respond back the next day. And then I also collapse all my apps into one folder. And so if I really, really, really need to check my Instagram, I have to scroll through three pages. So it keeps me pretty organized and pretty disciplined on when and how I'm going to access technology. And then Inbox Zero, Kurt Rees is a phenomenal educator in La Crosse, Wisconsin, and he taught me this through the Principal PLN podcast, and I continue to use it as best I can. And actually, now that we're moving into this new distance and digital learning, it's important that we consider this. So Inbox Zero is you don't browse it, don't touch it twice, and email is not your to-do list. So you set a time 2 to 3 times a day that you're going to check email. So let's say 9 a.m. I've gone through my morning check-ins or whatever that looks like. I sit down, email, and I answer or do something with each thing. I either do something with it, I delete it, or I delegate it. And then at the end of that 20 minutes, my email is cleared out. Oh, here we go. Aaron's saying something quick. Hold on. It's like a squirrel moment. Aaron, I'm a first year principal and did exactly this year. It was hard for my staff, but email off at 9 p.m. I found they, because I didn't have done the same next year, I'll cut back to 8. I think our community, parent community is catching on as well. And that's a piece too, is really letting your parents know as well, putting out of office, letting them know. So just setting the boundary that, hey, at this time at night, I won't be able to respond, but I'll respond the next day. When you put those boundaries around things and you hold yourself accountable to them, people are super supportive of it. A lot of times parents work first shift, and so the easiest time to email is at night, but that doesn't necessarily mean they expect you to be on at the same time. Here we go. Deep breath. Our state of mind matters as much as the words we speak. If you're not self-regulated, whatever you're going to say is not going to be translated into the exact right way. And so I really like to take a check. For example, it's okay to say, I don't have a minute. I don't know if anybody else has the knock on the door and the parent or the student or the teacher says, hey, do you got a minute? Sometimes you don't, and it's okay to say that. Recently, I had walked out of a really difficult meeting in which I found out a family was going through some really difficult times with their child. It was emotionally heartbreaking. There was a lot of tears involved, and I walked back into my office, and a teacher said, hey, can I ask you a question? And I had to say, can you give me 2 minutes? I said, I don't even mind if you sit next to me, but I just need to regulate, get a drink of water, write something down, or just take a breath. And the response I got from that staff member was, of course, what can I do to help you? But being super open and vulnerable is really critical. At workplace, we're expected to respond to emails instantly. What to do in that place? Ooh, that's a good one. Check with your supervisor. If you want to message me privately, I can certainly work with you too. And just saying, you know, if they want you to be engaged in classrooms and working with kids, you can't respond to email directly, but maybe you could set up at the top of every hour or something like that to just work through that and find ways to say, where do you want me to be of value? In classrooms leading or in my office answering emails in a productive way and work through that. But we could talk about that later too. So then reframing, talking about making those examples of your thought, mind, and action, funnel and filter. If you met me outside of this webinar, I would tell you I probably can do the best middle school girl response to anything. Now, do I send that response? No. But sometimes my funnel, I can just let loose. Like, I'm frustrated. I can't believe they sent me another email, size 150 font, all bold letters. So I've really had to learn to self-regulate and create a filter for responding to negative comments on social media, hostile emails, interactions that are unprofessional and unproductive. And so to find that filter, one of the strategies I use is phone a friend before you hit send, before you send an email back to somebody, making sure you have a colleague, an administrative assistant, somebody else looking that over and giving you a different perspective or lens, determining if it's really worth that email, if it's better to make that phone call, and grounding yourself in a perspective of the response. I've never met a parent that didn't love their child. Doesn't always mean that they agree or disagree with some of the decisions I make, but when you start with a common foundation such as that, the communication tends to flow a little bit better. Oh, here, question from Khan. Thank you, Honor, for this is a lot, and I'm just learning. The staff at Ellis Middle School, thank you, because tomorrow I'll be better at this. Would our bosses understand what we're trying to do? It would not be okay because they're using late night to reply to email. Ooh. I think probably I would love to help you with that, Khan, if you want to connect with me privately too. Setting some professional boundaries, and sometimes that means that growing and making decisions and letting them know and keeping that, like, this is my foundation, this is who I am, and I hope that we can continue to work together too. Oh, what do we do with all the negative emotions? Michael, what do you do with all the negative emotions, frustration, anger that you wind up stuffing and filtering? Those negative emotions find their way into my body and it hurts. Michael, here's the middle school girl. Ready? Honor may cut me off here at some point. But I used to, as an assistant middle school principal, attribute my office to a porta potty. People would come in, unload, dump their stuff on me, and like vent or whatever, and then they would feel better. Like, they're like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad I got to talk to you, and I just needed to get this out. But then they leave, get their hand sanitizer and leave, and then you're left with those anger and frustration and negative comments. Couple things that I found with that is sometimes I have to just, I literally have to get up and walk away for a while, go outside, be with kids. Sometimes I have to just write it all down. Abraham Lincoln used to write really nasty notes or letters to people, and he never sent them, but he has to just get it out on paper. And I'm like, if it's good enough for a former president, it'd be good enough for me as a middle school principal. And again, finding a network of people that you can connect with or talk to or text or just say, hey, this is happening in my district. Anything ever like this happened to you? I have two incredible friends that are also middle school principals, Sine Bell and Beth Huff, and I will send them things and say, okay, so this kid just did this to me on Snapchat, and one of them will say, yeah, I had that happen. So just building that collaboration that you're not alone and you're not going through this alone and other people have done it has helped. Oh, Julie, thank you. I appreciate you too. Yes, prioritize and set boundaries. Thank you, Julie. This is so much fun, you guys. I want to make sure I keep going and make sure I get through everything so we have time for legit questions at the end here. Professional. Okay, so the day-to-day things, I've given a couple strategies. Now we're moving into that professional. How are we continuing to learn and grow while managing the day-to-day? Readers are leaders. One thing I love to do is read. And I think we underestimate the power of reading, and it doesn't have to be a giant book. NAESP has one of the greatest magazines. Every month I read it and find something of value. Their blogs are fantastic. Podcasts are great. And I've included this in the link of documents. One thing I like to do on a monthly basis is keep track of what I'm reading. And I like to put it in between three categories: rigor, relationship, and rest. Rigor is my professional learning. What am I working and learning about? Right now it's the life skills grade and social emotional learning at the middle school. So I'm devouring research articles, journals, blogs, things like that to kind of help me learn more about that aspect of my job. Relationships, I enjoy reading books on leadership. I enjoy reading educational books, Dave Burgess, Jimmy Casas, Joe Sanfilippo, Beth Huff, I mean, Sine Bell. I can just keep listing and listing principles in action. Great reads, helps me become a better principal every day. And rest is stuff for fun. You can put a People magazine down there if you want. You could be reading The Skim online. You could be listening to a podcast or reading a book on Audible. But continuing to learn and grow helps you become better and better day to day. Oh, Cass, thank you for supporting the middle school girl and me. Cass says, it happened to me early in my career. Teachers would come to me at the end of the day. Even if I had a great day, I always went home feeling deflated and negative. I found ways to go to teachers' classrooms at the end of the day so the negative teachers couldn't come dump in my office. That's fantastic. Miss Wood says, love NAESP articles. I read them very regularly. And the best thing, they're research-based. Absolutely. I love when they make those connections to the articles where they found them. Here's a framework that I've used. I don't know about you, but it's really hard. People come at you with a lot of different initiatives and ideas. And how do you narrow down what's the next best thing for your school? I've used this framework called Listen, Learn, and Lead. I used it a lot at the Early Learning Center and Hacking Early Learning because I was a recovering assistant middle school principal. Mm-hmm. Took a job as a kindergarten principal, a building of all kindergartners. I thought, no problem, I've been a middle school assistant principal for 3 years. This is going to be easy. They're five. Most difficult job I've ever had. I mean, like, learning Tinker Toys, how to open milk cartons. Elementary principals, you're amazing. You're fantastic people. Kindergarten teachers, $1 million a day. They're incredible. But saying all this, going into this, going, I knew standards-based learning. I knew PBIS. I knew all these things at the secondary level. The kindergarten level, I needed to learn about developmentally appropriate play practices. I had to learn how to build a bell schedule around recess and breakfast and bus. I had to learn how to communicate with families when this was their first experience in a school setting. And so what I would do is take an idea. So, for example, we wanted to make more hands-on science experiments in learning, in outdoor learning. And so I would listen to what our stakeholders are saying. I would talk to our teachers, our paraprofessionals, our parents, and say, what do you think about this? Then I would learn and look at research articles, connect with other people on Twitter, and ask them how they were implementing things. And finally, I would lead something. But it was so important to first listen to your stakeholders, learn as much as you can from others and from research, and then lead things forward. So it's a really helpful framework when everything's coming at you. How can you really focus on one thing and then just and do it well? Here's a few resources that I just wanted to share with you too. If you're not a fully connected educator, I put my blog on the top here. You can certainly check that out. I put a ton of resources in there in regards to early learning, middle school, and self-care. Twitter is awesome at staying connected and finding other resources. You can use hashtags to follow to learn more. Facebook, I have so many great Facebook groups. There's principal appreciation groups. Melinda Miller, Amber Tiemann put some really great things together. I wish I was a better warm and fuzzy. I'm not, and I'm grateful that the people on this are, because I take your ideas, your Google Sheets, and I use them all the time. Instagram's been fantastic for me to find positive quotes and things to share with staff in the Friday Focus. And then podcasts and webinars are another really unconventional learning tool for me growing up, moving into this age. I'm sure you all know Brad Gustafson and Ben Gilpin. They have a great podcast called School Leadership Unearthed. Really powerful. They bring in the best interviewers. They share resources. Danny Bowers, Better School, Better Leaders. I talked about Sarah Johnson before. She has a great podcast that's Women in Leadership. And, of course, you can't not get through an NAESP webinar without shouting out to Hamish and Andy and the Innovative Leadership. They're bringing in such great leaders from across the country and sharing great things that are happening in their schools. So, again, just picking a platform, creating a tribe, and just try it. Just say, okay, we're all home in our offices now. Even if you said for 45 minutes a day, I'm going to get on Twitter and learn more, or I'm going to listen to Andy and Hamish, or I'm going to pick up this podcast. Yes, Charles loves Hamish as well. There we go. Two for Hamish. Just taking that time to try to delve into this learning, you're going to be able to pull resources out that you can go back and apply in your settings. All right. We're getting there. We're getting there. Finally, passions, and then we'll make sure we have time for questions. So we've talked a lot about all the different titles that you might have in your life, except you. What do you love doing, or what do you want to do and you haven't done in a really long time? I think this is something that would really help us as a whole educator, as a whole leader, is just taking time for ourselves and investing in a passion project, a genius hour. What do you love to do? Knitting, blogging, writing, running, taking time to just literally writing these things down. And I have this as a document you can use. You can facilitate this with your teaching staff. But really taking that time to say, this is something I want to commit to trying and doing for myself. One of the things I really have to say, though, is pick one thing and do it well and then move to the next. If you're going to try to start eating better, exercise, spend time with your family, learn how to knit, pick up another language, you're not going to do any of it well. But if you can pick one thing and focus on that, you let me know. Love the porta potty. How can we have access to the document? Please, Sandra, I will have the link at the end to help you with that. But when you pick that one thing and do it well, it means that you're just going to be intentional and commit to every day for 20 to 30 minutes. I'm going to get up and exercise, or once a week, I'm going to pick a new recipe and learn how to do it. And then here's some ideas. Once you've set that goal, make a plan, map it out, tell others, and celebrate success. And so before we get to our final thing, I'm just hoping there's some brave people that would be willing to say what's something they've wanted to do now that we kind of have a little bit more time to do it in for yourself. What's something that you want to do? Oh, Tammy's here. Hi, Tammy. Appreciating the book titles. Gracie, thank you, Jessica, for giving us Peace Principal Magazine Center for Innovation a shout out. We're very excited to have, oh yeah, we'll talk about that too. Gracie's here. Barb, yoga. Yes, yoga is a great thing. Jennifer, thank you for being here. I needed to hear all of this today. Thanks for helping me take my mind off all the craziness that is happening. Agreed. All right, who else could share a goal that they wanna pursue? Full transparency, I picked the worst time ever to do the Whole 30 challenge. So I'm trying to eat super clean when all I really want is a Kit Kat right now with everything going on. So I'm working on being disciplined while continuing the goal and sharing it with you, my struggles on this. Oh, somebody's going to be running. Susan's going to return to running outside. Charles is going to play the trumpet again. Oh, hi, Mr. Franks. Thank you for being here. Gardening, Con. Dr. Smith, my daughter, and I will learn how to use our new, those machines. Yes. Cry cut machine, that's awesome. Sandy, clean out your closets. Oh, could you come to Austin, Minnesota? I will pay you in spam. Sandra's yoga, cooking, gardening, cooking, Anne, Aaron, working out, teaching fitness classes, good for you. Stacy Peterson, running to improve my pace. Oh, your half marathon was canceled, super bummed. Farah is gonna eat clean. Thank you for being vulnerable and throwing out things that you wanna do. Now you have to do them, because I said them and they're recorded in this webinar. Content writing, Michelle, creating a small space for myself to read, setting up running and walking plans and sticking to it. Cass is going to read more. Demetrio is going to play more board games. That's awesome. Jessica's here. Jessica Gomez created a blog page recording videos for building school culture. It's fantastic. I follow it. You should. Jessica Gomez is doing a great job. This is awesome, you guys. Thank you for putting yourselves out here. Ms. Kosh, Ravi was going to appreciate children more frequently. Thank you for that. This is awesome. Keep it rolling. Keep connecting with us. I want to just keep going back to one last thing, and then we'll have time for questions. If you've read some of Brené Brown's work, she talks about the post-it notes, your squad. Whose opinion matters to you? Because right now in the world, and especially on social media, you're going to hear everybody else's opinion. And sometimes we tend to put more weight on that, some random person who comments, than the people who are closest in our life. So think about that. And we have our post-it notes, right? Here's mine. Who are five people in your life right now that their opinion matters? You care about them. They support you. They would encourage you in these goals that you're setting up. Just take the next minute to write their names down on the post-it note. Yes, Jessica. Oh, Jessica's so inspiring. Jessica's on my little square squad too. Jessica, you're doing amazing. I'm looking forward to this all week. You're helping so many people with your wisdom. I appreciate that, Jessica. And thank you for, if nothing else, most of you probably got one good laugh in today in the last hour, and some of us needed it. When you're finished with your post-it note, what I challenge you to do is send these people some love this week. Send them a text, send them a card, post something on Facebook, but send them some gratitude and thank them for being on your squad. As we start to wrap up, I think we have time. Did I make it for questions, Honor? I made it on time. I was supposed
you
to be.
You did great. Yay!
Gold star. All right. Oh, Sandra. Sandra says she'll be learning how to Zoom to teach my preschoolers. Hey, Sandra, I'm going to tell you right now, if I can do this without shutting it down, you're going to be fantastic. Because I am probably I figured out 1 year with Infinite Campus master scheduling at the middle school. I gave everybody orchestra. I found the button nobody else found. So I am not a tech ninja. So if I can navigate this, you can too. But it sounds like, Honor, we're available for some questions that people have that maybe I even missed in the chat as it was going. Oh, okay. Sam, can you briefly describe Voxer and how you use it? Yes. Voxer, is an app. It's like a walkie-talkie app. And so, let's see. Cass, maybe she's still on live. What I'm going to do is message Cass right now just to say, hey, Cass, how you doing? I am so impressed with your crazy TikToks and your running and everything you're doing, and I hope all is well. And so I just sent her that recorded voice message. And so you can get into Voxer groups. Cass runs one. Lindsay Stumpenhorst does one too. I mean, like, they have Moms as Principal, Principals in Action. You can throw out a question to them, and then they'll respond to you. So if I was like, how do you guys do dismissal at the end of the day? People will give you ideas. It's a great way to communicate. I've seen some people use this during classroom walkthroughs. So they'll leave a class, they'll send a teacher a message, and then you can take this and you can email out the voice message. So the teacher gets to hear your words, which is such a powerful tool when you're giving feedback. So that's Voxer. Demetria, you mentioned checking Instagram for positive quotes that you use on your Friday something. What did you call these and what are they? Oh, okay. I do a Friday focus, and Todd Whitaker wrote about that. So I send out a weekly email at the end of the week, and I always start with a positive quote that I found somewhere that was just a important thing. I usually include an article, then the building schedule, how to get a hold of me, and then I usually include a tweet from our Twitter page. And so it's just a way to keep our staff connected, and they just know every Thursday afternoon there's an email that comes out with me that's like the memo for the week. And so I do hashtag gentle reminders, and there's a couple other hashtags you can start following that just have crazy great quotes that you can just pull off and then use with your staff. Stacy, what tips or advice do you have for helping to support staff feeling a great deal of anxiety posting digital lessons, responding to parents, and providing feedback to students during our digital learning period? Stacy, yes. We have our first staff meeting tomorrow, and the first half hour of that staff meeting is all about self-care. Because again, we talked about it's really difficult to be yourself when you're not self-regulated. And so walking through these exercises, what are you doing for self-care? How are you leading this forward and taking time for yourself? We're also going to create like a Google form that I'll send out weekly to staff, and they can say, hey, I need you to check in on me. I have a question about this. I'm doing okay. I'm worried about the student. it's on a weekly basis or daily if they want, they can send that in. And then I can be checking that and working with the assistant principal, Ryan, so we can make sure we're supporting teachers too. I think the best thing we can do is give them explicit permission that we're going to fail at this. We're going to fail forward. We're going to learn from it. And we're going to come out of this season as better educators. And if we can just focus on committing and caring for our kids right now and helping them learn second, we're going to become better for this in the long run. I want to make sure I might have missed one. Access the recorded session. Honor will be able to speak to that, I believe. Oh, she already said.
Well, I'll also, yes, I will speak to it at the end, but I also put it in the chat.
Okay. You guys are fantastic. Thank you in all your craziness for being here today with everything going on. Oh my gosh. Kara, you are, okay, that's the winner right there. 12:55 a.m. and here. Honor, do you see that? Holy cow.
I do. She says, she's 12:55 a.m. right now in Pakistan.
For you right here. And Rabbi, I hope I'm saying that right. Oh my gosh, you fantastic leaders. That's incredible. And you're typing and everything looks great that early in the morning. Wow.
So Jessica, can you tell us a little bit about the session?
Coming up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So yes, I'm going to move forward here on the slides. And then these are, again, just those reminders from the beginning. We have those. Honor's got them. We can send them out later. But, yes, I hope you're coming to – do I say it right when I say Louisville? Louisville, Kentucky?
Yes.
I hope it's right. I know there's – it's a pronunciation thing. But Beth Huff and I are going to do a little lead-up mashup. And so Beth Huff, one of the co-authors of Lead Like a Pirate – and myself are going to lead a session, a featured session called So Do You Want to Be a Pirate? And so taking that ability to transform school culture while finding balance in our life, Beth and I are just super honored and excited to be coming to share with you. Sinead Bell is also going to join us for a session on middle school leadership. But I can't wait to spend in-person time with you all because in July, we are going to be together and continue to learn and grow. And so if you are on the webinar today and you're going to be there, drop me an email or a note or just please come up and say hi to me. By then we can do air hugs or real hugs, hopefully. And I'm just honored to be in this community of leaders who are just engaged and inspiring every day. I better go back up.
So I can give some information on that. A couple people are asking about the conference. And yes, we encourage you to go to our website at www.naesp.org and go to our conference, our 2020 conference. There's a little tab for that under learning. And you will see all the information on it, how to register, housing. And we just encourage you to go there. Since you've got this time off, let's take a look at all the sessions that we have going in addition to Jessica's. And hope that you will register and meet us all in Louisville, Kentucky. Yay. It's going to be July 12th through 14th.
Mm-hmm.
July 12th through 14th.
Yeah. Gracie just noted too, just thanking us for having this webinar, topic of self-care. Everybody take care and stay safe. Gracie, I'm going to say that for everybody. We're all in this new season, and I can't wait to see you in Louisville either. Khan got back on. They've got another attendee from Pakistan watching. It was wonderful. It's such an honor for you to be here this early in the morning. Just can't believe you're here. CAS, NAESP Summer Conference. It's in early July. Yeah. Oh, hey, Honor, look at CAS replied back to me. Can I put the Voxer thing back up?
Sure, please do.
Okay, CAS, so just so you know, I messaged CAS in here. Like, hopefully it's not CAS. I'm going to hit play. I bet it's good.
Thanks so much. I thoroughly enjoyed this hour with you on the webinar, and just thank you for all that you do to help other principals grow and develop and find some balance in this crazy job that we have.
So that's how Voxer works. So it's wonderful because if you're not on right away, you can go back and listen and respond later. So I have I have small groups with people, but that's also a way if you want to join Voxer, I'll get you my contact information from the next slide and reach out. That's a great – I love connecting with people and just hearing people's voices in this work.
again, Jessica, thank you. And for all of you out there, if any ESP can help you, continue to help you in your professional development, please give us, let us know. And we're so glad to help you with your resources. Thank you, Jessica.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much. Have a great day.